It's Monday, May 28th, our first day back in ordinary time. I imagine you, like me, are expecting to settle in and to sit in our lounger and maybe sip iced tea or something on these lazy days of summer. But it seems God's holy word isn't going to let us. Yes, all the sound and the fury and the flurry and the glory is over with. Jesus is risen and the Spirit has come, but they're not going to leave us in peace. Instead, it seems they leave behind a tack or two on the seat of our recliner. Here's the story. It's the rich young man from Mark 10:17-27. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And the young man said, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the rich young man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." So Jesus looks at the rich young man in love. And Jesus looks at us in love and names what it is that we lack. Simply, lack. What we lack is lack. What we desire is desire. What we want is want. What we are looking for, and we might not realize it, is more, always more. Out of a state of soul that's beggardom, out of a state of soul that knows it needs. Jesus says to the rich young man, "You are full, too full. You are too full of the wealth that you think guarantees your tomorrows. You think that to possess eternal life is just one more step up the ladder, one more crowning achievement. Because we've heard it from the Holy Scriptures, riches are a blessing. Riches are a sign of God's blessing. So you think you are in control? You're proud of your power over your life and that of your family? Your moral rectitude, your education, all your solid investments and the trust fund you've set up for your children, your plans A and B and C to answer any possible contingency? Why, you even have a well-stocked bunker in case of the worst of all tragedies. But this is not about your worth, or your careful planning, or your acts of virtue. This is about loving, and it's a much wilder ride than you can conceive of. It's wild and it's wonderful, and I will pour myself into you as you pour yourself out, and we together and all will be like a water fountain overflowing from level to level until it rises again to pour down. Jesus says to the rich young man and to us, think of it. If you leave your treasure, if you give your wealth, there will always be room for more, room for me, and the space you will have, and the freedom you will have, and a wonderful, wonderful world will open up before you when I give myself to you and pull you along the ways of love. When you come to me blissfully empty, and I give myself to you and pull you along as you follow me. Mary C. Richards talks about a visit to her nephew. This is in the book Centering. A visit when she compliments him, who's about 4 years old, on how big he was, on how big he'd grown. Oh, he replied, I'm bigger than this. I'm bigger than this. That's what you say when you're able to name your want, when you're able to perceive your lack, when you're able to be possessed by not your riches, but by your desire, by your emptiness. I'm bigger than this. Come and fill me. Oh, yes, Jesus is saying yes to your bigness and asking you to follow. There's another word given by Simon Tugwell in his book called The Beatitudes. He talks about wanting to want more, wanting to grow bigger. And he says this, our part in this life is to learn to want largely and earnestly enough to make us capable of the infinite righteousness of God's kingdom. It is no good coming with a symbol to receive the grace of God. God has nothing less to give us than everything. Well, you protest, it's too big for us, of course. Of course it is too big for us. We are made for that which is too big for us. Oh yes, we are made for that which is too big for us. We are made to be emptied over and over and over again so that we may possess and possess and possess and possess the life and the love of Christ Jesus, the unity of the Spirit. We are too big to be only what we are now. We are ever to grow bigger in the heart of God.